Okay, good. So we should be good from here. Okay, great. So everyone can see my screen. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Good,
Yes,
so
I
you can see
can
my
see.
screen, right? Okay, good.
Yes.
So let's go. Let's move forward. Okay, good. So the aims for this evening, as it relates to effective fervent prayer, the chapter, we will be looking at what is prayer, why is praise important in prayer, and how to foster intimacy in prayer. Good. So let's start our discussion. What is prayer? And just feel free at any point in time to just, if you have any comments or anything to add, you can just add. Feel free to speak. So, what is prayer? So, we know that prayer is communication, talking with and receiving answers from God. So, that's the most practical definition for prayer as we know it, two-way communication, talking and listening. Right? Prayer is asking and receiving. It says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." So we know that scripture in Matthew 7:7. So it says, prayer is asking and receiving. Another definition, prayer is having a relationship with God. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. We all know that scripture, that the secrets of the Lord is with those who fear him or with his friends. So prayer is having a relationship with God. Another aspect of prayer is it is a medicine for cursing diseases. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. James 5:13. Another aspect, prayer is the key that unlocks every closed door. The persistent widow in Luke 18:1-7. We all know that story. And then prayer is a weapon of warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is 2 Corinthians 10:4. So is there anyone on the call that could relate to these definitions or these different aspects of prayer? If not one, all of them. Is there anyone who could relate to them on the call?
I think we all can.
Yes, please.
I
And
think
if
we all
not
can.
at least one, I believe all. You know, I believe all of them. So that means that prayer is important, that prayer is very critical. So we just want to move on. So we're continuing on what is prayer. So Luke 11:1 says the disciples pleaded with Jesus, saying, "Lord, teach us how to pray." So on this slide, what I did, I broke down the Lord's Prayer. I think, yes, it was last year that we were asked. It was a part of the prophetic word, and you were supposed to study the Lord's Prayer because you know we all say, we all repeat it, but it's important that we understand it. I can hear a dog in the background. Could you please mute? And when you want to speak, you can unmute. Right. Good. Thanks. Good. So what I did, I split it into two in terms of the pattern, because we all know that the Lord's Prayer is a it's like principles to prayer. It's like a pattern that the Lord gave the disciples. So I have on one side pattern, and on the other side, I'm just breaking it down in terms of a description. And again, all of this is in the manual. What I did, I just summarized everything. So it would be good if after the session, you could actually read through the entire chapter. And we would have mentioned before, for those persons who do not have manuals or mandates, you could reach out to your national coordinator or the secretary coordinator, and they would be able to make arrangements, because I know the various nations would have received books or at least put in orders for books. So you can connect with your national coordinator. So the first part, our Father which art in heaven. So this acknowledges that God is our Father. It acknowledges him as our Father. Then it goes on to say, "Hallowed be thy name," which we all know this acknowledges his holiness, you know, God as being holy. "Thy kingdom come," which acknowledges that he has a kingdom. So you know, a kingdom is a king's domain. So it's the place that the king rules over. So we acknowledge it, we're acknowledging here that he has a kingdom. Then it goes on to say, "Thy will be done," as in heaven, so in earth. So this is, okay, so we want to pray to establish his kingdom and his will within our location, within our country, within our nation. I think I'm hearing some feedback or someone is trying to say something. Hello?
That person's mic needs to be muted.
Oh, please mute your mics. Could everyone please mute their mics until you want to say something? Yeah, because the admin person isn't here as yet. So I'm getting some help from Brenda Lee. And then I'm trying to manage in between. So just please mute your mics unless you have something to say. Thanks. Because
excuse me, I just want to cover that if you have the revised version, the page will be 55. Okay.
Yes, because they are revised versions. Good. 55 to one until up to one page.
I didn't check that. I only see the page when I was looking for it. All right. Hold on.
So that's good.
74.
55 to 74 for the new edition because I have the old edition. Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Good. You're welcome.
Okay. So thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So we want to pray to establish the kingdom of God within our location. And I remember when I was actually studying the Lord's Prayer last year, because as I said, it was a part of the prophetic word. It was one of the things we needed to do in terms of studying the Lord's Prayer. And I remember going back through and the Lord just revealing, you know, what truly, really and truly what his kingdom is. You know, we talk about a king's domain, so we always think that is some place that, you know, physical, but there is a scripture that says that the kingdom of God has come alive in us. I think if those aren't the words, the exact words, what it means is that the kingdom of God has actually come alive in me and you. We know that our bodies are God's temple, right? We know that we are the temple, our bodies are the temple of the living God, which means that that our bodies then is his domain. He is the king. So his kingdom has come in our lives. It's come alive in us. So we carry the kingdom of God in us, you know? And so that is made manifest through the way that we respond, the way that we live, the way that we worship, you know? It is our lifestyle, you know, his kingdom. So it's not so whenever we hear about kingdom lifestyle or the Lord desires that, you know, you come out of, it's not about your nationality. I am a Bajan, or your denomination. I'm an Anglican, you know, but the Lord wants us to live kingdom life, you know, kingdom life, a kingdom lifestyle. And some people would think that means, okay. So it's just like unity, but it's more than that. It speaks about the individual life, you know, you acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord and King over your life. And so he's the one that dictates what you do. And so others on the outside would be able to see that mere manifest in the way that you carry yourself, right? Because the king's domain, our bodies, you know, who we are, what we are, is his domain. That's where he rules, you know? That's where he lives. That's where he operates. Because he's the king over the domain, you know, which is our lives. So that stood out to me. So give us day by day our daily bread. So that's asking the Lord for provisions on a daily basis. And forgive us our sins. Oh, before I even move on, you know, there are some people that would say the Lord already knows what you need, so there's no need to ask. That's not true. Because the word tells us we have not because we what? You have not because you
ask.
Correct. So you have to ask, right? And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Let me give you another version. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those that trespass against us, which means that with the same measure you forgive, you will be forgiven, right? So we must forgive others or we will not be forgiven. And that is one of the most important, you know, like that's one of the most, well, I shouldn't say important, but that's one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer that always stands out to me, you know? And so it will drive you to forgive others. And lead us not into temptation is a plea for God's guidance and direction so we don't enter into temptation. There are some people that misunderstand this line. Some persons actually think that this is, it's like if you are, like if the Lord is the one that leads us into temptation, so we're asking him not to. But the word tells us that the Lord, he does not tempt, right? The Lord allows and disallows, but he's not the one that tempts. Right, so you must be very, very clear as it relates to that. And it's, and this is in the word. He does not tempt us. He does not tempt man. He allows and he disallows. And a simple example is Job. Right, so it's a plea for God's guidance and direction so that we do not enter into temptation. So really and truly what this line is saying is, Lord, help me not to even go there. Right? But deliver us from evil. So it's acknowledgement of the fact that we cannot keep ourselves from falling, which is so very important. You know, there is nothing that we can do in and of ourselves. You know, it is not by works. It is only by the Spirit that we are even able to, and it's only by God's grace, it's only God's mercy that we are able to do anything. There is nothing that we do on our own. Like, for instance, even if there was a evil cycle in your life, a particular struggle, alcoholism or drug abuse, and you've come out of that place, you know, the word tells you about, there's a scripture that says, let him who thinks he stands be careful lest he fall. It reminds me of that scripture. Because you think that you're standing on your own 2 feet and that you're the one, you staying away from the guys with the drugs, you staying away from this, you staying. So everything you're thinking is really you, but not, it isn't you. Really and truly, it's the grace of God that even keeping the people from around you, the grace of God that even keeping you out of these situations, the grace of God that keeping you out of the environment that would cause you to surrender or cause you to bow. You know, so it's the acknowledgement of the fact that we cannot keep ourselves from falling. And as I began by stating, this is just a set of principles that the Lord gave the disciples to follow as it relates to prayer. All right. Does anyone want to add anything before I move on? No? Okay. Okay, what's going on here now? Good. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Right? So we're going to look now at effective prayer, the requirements, the results, and some of the hindrances. As I said before, the book, the chapter, it has is a whole long list, but I just pulled out a couple here for us this evening. So we're looking now at the requirements for effective prayer. So it must be made according to God's will if it's supposed to be effective. So if your prayer is supposed to be effective, it must be made according to God's will, right? So, we must pray in Jesus' name. So, you know, when we pray and we say in Jesus' name, well, it's, we just don't say for saying it's sake, right? The name of Jesus, as we know, is a weapon. The name of Jesus carries weight. And so that's why we say in Jesus' name, because we know that there is only one way to be saved, and it's through Jesus, you know? So that's why it says here, it must be in Jesus' name and in no other name. Like how they say in Allah name, in Buddha name, no, it's only in one name, that then the prayer can be effective. So we must pray with a sincere heart and unwavering faith, which we all know that you must pray. As you pray, you must believe that you have already received that which you have asked for in prayer. That we must pray with boldness. You must pray with faith, believing that this is, that you've already received it. We must be persistent in prayer. The Lord says to give him no rest. You know, he talks about watchmen upon the wall that do not sleep. Right? It says we must begin our prayers with thanksgiving, praise and adoration to our God. Because again, it is a weapon. We know that praise is a weapon. We know thanksgiving is a weapon. You know, the scripture says, enter my gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. Right? So this is another principle. The Lord says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Right? So it's another instruction. We must sincerely confess known and unknown sins. So we know about that, that we must repent. Right? We must repent in order to be able to come boldly before the Lord. Of known and unknown, because sometimes we sin and don't even know, and it's only the grace of God that would prick, you know, that would prick us and will bring you to the place where you just sit and study, oh my, I just did that, Lord, forgive me. You know, that was not even my intention. Or sometimes we say things and offend others, and that was not the intention to offend, but the mere fact that you've offended and it has been made known, you should apologize. You should apologize. You know, you should apologize. So we must sincerely confess known and unknown sins. We must be specific in our prayers, like blind Bartimaeus. And this is, and I think that this is overlooked, this particular point. A lot of us, we overlook this point about being specific. Because, you know, you want a prayer. Sometimes you want a prayer and the prayer is so fluffy, as opposed to dealing with the root of the matter. You know, the scripture says about the Lord putting the axe to the root. Is that you beating all over the place, all over the place, as opposed to dealing with the root of the matter. Praying specific. Your finger is hurting you, the second finger on the left hand hurting, and you praying about your entire arm. Pray specifically that the finger will be mended, that it will be healed, as opposed to praying for your arm. You understand? So does anyone have anything to add?
Ashley, I'd like to say that in some cases, people, and instead of them praying to God, they'll pray to Jesus. And you know, the Bible said, pray to God in Jesus' name. So you have a lot of people praying to Jesus. You want to comment on that for me?
You're like the third person that I heard with that. Like two people coming on to the end of the year brought it to my attention. And I will be honest, I never really considered it until they mentioned it. But as you said, it is through Jesus to God in Jesus' name. But it's not that we pray. And I don't think that people deliberately do it. I just think that it is practice. And I can't even explain. I just think that it is overlooked in that people believe like Jesus is God, is Trinity, you know, whichever name I call, I know it's still all at home. But it's good to have understanding, because my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. And it is true. We pray to God, not to Jesus. We pray through Jesus to God in Jesus' name, you know, because as I said earlier, there is only one way. And it's through Jesus. But at the end of the day, we pray to our Father, which is God. Right? That's a whole big discussion. You're the third person, you know, in quick succession that mentioned that. Because we pray to God, but I never study, you know, in Jesus' name, it's through Jesus, but we pray to God. Does anyone else want to add anything else? Anyone else has anything to say? I hope I was clear, because it's pretty simple.
Sure,
I don't think it's done maliciously. Sorry?
I'm not sure if I understand the question, really, because to me, they are one and the same. God, Jesus is one person, but they're just different roles. Oh, Lord, I don't know how to explain this, boy.
I know, that's why I say it's a discussion.
So you're is it that you're saying that if I put it to Jesus that there's something wrong, okay. Which I don't believe that.
I don't want to say it's wrong.
You understand?
For me, it was brought to my attention. And only when it was brought to my attention, I then realized we pray to God, right? We pray to God in Jesus' name, our true Jesus Christ, right? So I am saying, I believe that even as you have people, I didn't even see who it was. It was Kenya who spoke just now.
Kenya.
Right. Mm-hmm. So as Kenya said, that there are people that pray to Jesus, but I was saying, I don't think that it's done maliciously, because people, depending on your level of understanding, right? No, I shouldn't even say depending on your level of understanding, because at the end of the day, it's the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one. So I believe that people just pray, and if they call Jesus' name, they call Jesus' name. If they call God's name, they call God's name. They say Holy Spirit, they say Holy Spirit. But at the end of the day, they mean it's the Trinity. I don't even want to go into too much details. But for me, we pray to God in Jesus' name through Jesus. I don't even want to go any further.
One more thing, Ashley.
Because,
All right. God the Father, God the Son.
God the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm.
They're saying three and one, not three is one. Because when they're thinking, all of them are thinking on one accord. They're on the same accord, not three is one. They say three and one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they have the same understanding. Mm-hmm. The Holy Ghost, God, and Jesus is on the same line. You know, the level of thinking is the same. Not that they're that's my understanding of the Holy of the Trinity. That the three is on one accord. Mm-hmm. Okay, because then we have the Father who sent the Son. So if the Father sent the Father, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Father who sent. So it's the thinking. It's the three of them thinking on the same accord. The three of them on the same level, thinking the same thing, but not being one accord, one in thinking, one in doing. That's my understanding of it.
Okay, this is a big discussion.
Could I say something?
Yeah,
that's a big discussion.
There is three person and one Godhead. But for each one had a dispensation in which to do a certain thing in the earth. Jesus and God is one. And he said it. He said, me and my Father is one. Okay? But he had God the Father had to come as God the Son in the earth.
To manifest in you.
To redeem man back. Okay? It's the same thing. Jesus is the Word. He said, I am the Word. He's just the Word made manifest to us in the flesh to do what needed to be carried out in the flesh. The Holy Spirit and Jesus is one, but the Holy Spirit came in a dispensation for the church as the resurrected Christ went back to the Father, sit at the right hand. And is sending back his spirit into the earth to accomplish that which was predestined from the foundation of the earth. So they just as dispensation of where they manifest in the earth with different name. I could be wrong, but this is how I interpret it. But they are
well, the way I know it, the Bible tell you, except you come in the name of Jesus, because you cannot go to God except you go to Jesus. That is my Jesus understanding.
Sorry,
there is a part in the Bible that said, except
Jesus who came to the earth to redeem man back. So when he came down, as the Son of God, which was given in his earthly name was Jesus, but his eternal name was Christ. The anointed one.
This is what I'm going to do.
Now, so this is why the word of God said, we spread to the Father in Jesus' name. Because it's Jesus, the Son, who came down in earthly form to redeem man back. So the only legal access we have to understand the spirit world. To understand why we have to pray in Jesus' name. because he is the one that gave us the access. It was his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. The Holy Spirit didn't come in human form. He came as a spirit. That's why he's called the Holy Spirit. And he came for the dispensation of the church. Once the church is raptured out of here, then we go back to the Old Testament thing where the Spirit of God will just move on man, not dwell in him. That's my intake. Because the Holy Spirit came to indwell in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus coming back in a spirit form. Because now our spirit is recreated back to God, what it was intended to be from the beginning. So we commune spirit to spirit, not man to spirit. Remember, we are triune. We are just like the Trinity. We are triune. Do we say my body is something different from my spirit or my soul?
Okay.
The whole thing make up one thing. Our body is the indwelling place for the spirit and the soul. The soul is the life of us. The soul carry our intellect, our feelings, our senses, and all of that. But our recreated spirit, mm-hmm. once we receive God back, Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross for us, our spirit man is back in communication with God the way he'd intended. That's what Adam gave up. Adam didn't give up his body. Did Adam die physically right then when the Lord tell him, if you eat this, you will surely die? His flesh did not die. His communication from the spirit to the spirit is what died. So the triumph God, because he said, we are made in his image and in his likeness. We are triumph, just like him. I know for me, sometimes I enter the gate, I'm going in Jesus' name. But when I'm praying and I'm worshiping and I thank him, Jesus, for what he did for me, I say, mm-hmm. God, I thank you because Jesus did this for me. I said, Jesus, I thank you for doing this for me. Mm-hmm. I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to dwell in me. I thank you for by your stripes, I am healed. We can address God to say he did that. To that extent, if you want to be it that way, because you're saying you should pray to God through Jesus. When you address him, Jesus, for what he did in his earthly form to redeem us back, you have to address him like Jesus. So sometimes there's, in my prayer, I'm addressing God the Father, I'm addressing God the Son, and I'm addressing God the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you for indwelling me. I know it was you today, because when so-and-so make me mad, my flesh wanted to saw his head off, but I thank you, you spoke to me, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's how I pray. Now, I don't know about other people, but I use the whole body, the whole God and Trinity in my prayer. Mm-hmm. Not that I am praying out of context or disrespect, but yeah, I am praying to God using all the Godhead that he has given me through redemption. Now, other people may see it differently, but that's the way I interpret it. And that, I feel that's why the Holy Spirit is here to help us interpret a lot of things. Because sometimes we listen to what one person say, and a lot of people make it gospel. And when you talk to the Holy Spirit about it, you find far off the point.
What we would do.
Everybody should allow the Holy Spirit to. And yes, you can't come to God the Father in Buddha name, because Buddha ain't paid the price for you. You can't come to God the Father and Muhammad name. Muhammad didn't pay the price for you. And that's the difference. That's the access key for us is Jesus. Mm-hmm. That don't mean we can't use all the name of the Godhead. That's just like when you say Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi. They're all different aspects of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. But it's still the same Godhead.
I understand what you're saying. So this is what we would do on Thursday. We would continue the discussion, this very same discussion. Because I myself need clarity, honestly, because as I said, this is like the third time that it's been raised in quick succession. And for me, I know when I pray, I call Jesus' name, I call God's name. I said Jehovah. But at the end of the day, I know it is, you know, it's the 3-in-1. I know that is true Jesus. At the end of the day, is God. So I've never really sat and, I don't know, and pick it apart, to be honest. Right? Because at the end of the day, for me, it's the Trinity. That's how, you know, it's pretty simple for me. But this is the third time that it has come up. So obviously, I need to go a bit deeper. And that's what I will do. And then we could come back and discuss. I'll try my very best to organize by Thursday, so that we could have some scriptural reference, etc. And we can move from there. And you can go away. We will all go away and pray and come back. Right? That sounds good. Brenda already settled. Brenda had Brenda sorted. Brenda Lee sorted. But the rest of us, who does not? I did not catch. Someone's hand is raised. LaVon, it moved. The name moves. I didn't see it. It's La something. LaVon.
Let's go right here, Ashley, before you ask the question. When you talk, draw reference to.
Yes, hi. Good night.
Bartimaeus didn't say, God, I asked you to let Jesus have mercy on me. He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Jesus, hear him.
Good night.
Yeah, this hi. I see someone here has. Yeah, yes. Who's? Could you give your name? LaVon. Uh huh. Good.
This is LaVon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect definition, Sister Brenda Lee. And something I would just like to just input, right, that helped mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. in my early stage of as a believer. Because that was a question I had as an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
Why it is that persons will say Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and refer to it, you know, in different forms of prayer.
Okay.
And I remember a minister spoke to me about that. And what he showed me, an analogy that helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And firstly, let's keep in mind, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ are one.
Mm-hmm.
Triune God, one. It's like water. Water comes in three forms. You have water, vapor, and ice. However, whatever form it takes, it's still water. And that helped me to understand it's the same God with different functions.
Mm-hmm.
So when we speak about Jesus, we speak about the Holy Spirit, we speak about God the Father, it's the same God operating in different functions. This is why from the beginning it stated, we were created in his image, right? From the beginning. So we see Jesus, Jesus the Son, Holy Spirit, and the Father were there even from the beginning of the earth. You always see the word us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Correct.
So
yeah.
us mm-hmm. had different roles to play. The Spirit roamed across the earth. The Son was sent, God the Father, he's there. Right, you pray through Jesus, the Son, but it's the same God. And it's important for us to have that oneness and understanding. So when we minister to the unbelievers, because if we have confusion amongst ourselves, what would the unbeliever, and that was my position as an unbeliever at the time, the believer couldn't explain to me, you know, but when I saw that analogy, it helped me so much mm-hmm. to understand that it's one God with different functions.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning of time to the end of time, it's one God. All the dispensation, one God performing different functions. One God, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I pray that this will help someone.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So this is very healthy. The thing about it is that I was battling in terms of what we're going to do on Thursday. I know I have like a little short assignment for us on Thursday, but I think we need to continue this discussion on Thursday. And that's what we will do. Okay, so I Thank you, everyone, for your input. Thanks for your input. So we will definitely carry this on. I was trying to remember, there was someone from Trinidad that began to speak. Let me look at the names. If I see the names, I may know who it was. That spoke about they needed clarity as well. I don't know who it was. I can't even see him properly. Someone spoke just before Brenda Lee. And I think the person was from Trinidad. It sounds like a young lady.
Yeah, it's me, actually, Chanel.
I was wondering if it was Chanel.
I think LaVon explained it well.
Okay, good.
I just couldn't articulate it properly.
Mm-hmm.
But I think LaVon explained it very well. So.
Okay, great. So good, good. So, okay, good, good, good. Okay. So don't let me... Right. So I won't go any further. But what we will do on Thursday, we will come back and have a discussion. All right, we would. Because it's all about, it's all a part of prayer. It's all connected to prayer. So we would, I just made a note. Okay, good. So we're free to move ahead. Any years?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. So we will move on to the results. Good. So I have the scriptures here, but because of time, that's why I haven't been asking anyone to read, because it's pretty lengthy, the chapter. Good. So we're looking now at the results of effective prayer. Peace of God, healing, forgiveness of sins, deliverance from demons and trouble, grace and mercy in the time of need, changing your situation, the impossible becomes possible, closeness to God. Could someone else just give me a couple more results of effective prayer? When our prayers are effective, what happens? At least two more.
You get results. Prayers are answered.
Yeah. Answered prayer. Mm-hmm. Positive results. Another person?
To me, it builds my faith.
Yes, it does. The results, okay, you mean when you see results, positive results, that builds your faith?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Good, good. Some hindrances on confessed sins, on forgiveness and an unforgiving spirit, disagreement and disunity, our lack of love. We know that for sure. And that is why, especially when you are in, like, for instance, a prayer team or a prayer group. I think someone is LaVon that mentioned that at the end of the day, you really have to carry, it's like one voice and one sound. You know that there must be unity. Because where there's disunity, you know, it hinders your prayer. That's the same thing. There's a scripture that says that the wife hinders, that a wife can hinder the prayers of the husband. Right? So that's why you must, I can't remember the exact word, so I don't want to quote it wrong. But basically, the wife has the
husband.
Sorry?
It's the husband where God doesn't hear his prayers if he's
she can hinder the prayers of the husband. Yeah, because she can stop the Lord from hearing the husband's prayer. You know, if there's disunity in the midst, if there's confusion in the midst, it would hinder the husband's prayers from being answered. So it says not praying in accordance with his divine will. When prayer, and let me just make a quick note. A quick mention as it relates to not praying in accordance with his divine will. So yes, we must acknowledge that.
Excuse me. Hi. When you say that it hindered the husband's prayer, what about those people that her husband is not a Christian and is the wife that's a Christian? So will you say it hinders the prayer?
You mean it, that the disunity will hinder the wife's prayer? If it was the other way around,
that's no, but I had you said that the wife can hinder the husband pray.
Yeah, the wife can hinder.
There has a lot of people mm-hmm. who one partner is a Christian and the other one is not. So you say that it hinders the prayer?
So you have partners. You may have a husband and wife. One is saved and the other isn't saved. That does not negate the fact that the wife still has to submit to the husband. One and two. Regardless of who, regardless of if it is the husband that praying or the wife that praying, or who's saved and who are unsaved, as long as there's disunity, it's problems. Because you could got a saved and an unsaved. Spot, you could have a husband and wife in a union, one saved, the other ain't saved, but they still agree. And when they say agree, it would be like agree pertaining to the children, they agree pertaining to this, they agree pertaining to that, you know? And the husband ain't, the husband might not be serving the Lord, the wife may not be serving the Lord, you know? But they agree as it relates to certain things concerning the whole soul. But if the wife say, I want tight, and the husband say, he want whatever, some other brand, it's confusion in the supermarket because there's no agreement. So we can't get in the line and the line getting longer. So the scripture speak, it references the husband, because the husband, I believe, because the husband is the head, right? So, you know, when he goes to the Lord concerning his household, the Lord would hear. But the mere fact that there is disunity, the wife, something, he did something to the wife, you know? All right, let me just look for the scripture.
There is also a scripture, actually, that talks about believing wife sanctifying
the correct,
or something like that. I cannot remember the exact reference, but I know it's in one of the epistles of Paul.
Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker part and as the heirs with you of the gracious gifts, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. That is it. 1 Peter 3:7. Let me look for King James. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Yeah.
You put up Genesis 1 and 26. You could read it. Please see.
Read it.
And God said, let us make man in our image. Oh, they were referring to what we spoke earlier when I draw a reference, I guess.
Sorry?
That speaks to what we were talking about earlier when I said we triumph being that we are made in the image and likeness of God.
The Genesis 1:26?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me see here. Let me just move this off the screen. Good. So the question, what was the question again? How did we even get there with this, with the scripture?
Paul said about the believing husband or the believing wife. Yeah,
from St. Lucia, I could see your face. Look, you see how I have to get back into calling names?
No, Teresa. Ashley said, if you not in tune, like it hinder.
Oh, disagreement. Right. Disagreement and disunity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said, if the person, say the person was married together already and they give Christ their life and the husband is not a Christian, but they are married, they can't just leave because she give Christ her life.
Oh, no, you can't leave.
No. So that will not hinder the prayer.
That will handle your prayer if you're walking out of context with what God has said. It'll handle the wife prayer. Because then you are not submitting to the unbelieving husband who you are adjourned to.
Mm-hmm.
It handles your prayer.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't. Okay, I don't understand the context. I don't understand the context. I don't understand the question, Teresa.
Teresa was asking if a woman is married to an unbeliever, okay, how could the wife action or reaction handle her husband's prayer when he is an unbeliever?
Or when he isn't praying. That's what you mean?
So the question I asked is based on what you said, that the wife does, sometimes the wife hinder
the
husband's prayer.
Right.
So I wanted a clarification about that, because sometimes majority, the wife is a Christian and the husband is not.
So you want to know if the husband then can stop the wife's prayers? That's what I'm trying to understand. If the husband...
No, but you said... I think we can leave it for now. Because you said that sometimes the wife can hinder the husband pray.
Right.
That's what you said.
Mm-hmm. That's what the scripture says. That's what you just read in 1 Peter. So it says that the husband must deal with the wife in knowledge. Right? In terms of honoring her. Otherwise she can hinder his prayers. Right? So if she's not happy, happy is not the right word to use. You know, if there's a disagreement, it says husbands in the same way. Be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So I guess deal with them in knowledge. You must treat and honor them. That your prayers won't be hindered. So it doesn't even have anything to do with her being happy. It's that the Lord looking down at you to see how you're treating your wife. So if you're not treating her and honoring her, then we will have a problem. But you are saying that, say, the majority of the time is really the wife that is the believer and not the husband. So then how would that hinder his prayer? Because he isn't praying? That's a whole other situation there. Right? I will be understanding what your question, Teresa. Are you mean that there's then more?
Let's move on because we don't have the whole night.
Yeah, and I don't think I am understanding. Okay, so I apologize. Not praying in accordance with his divine will. That's another hindrance. When prayer is not specific in nature or displacing instruction and the word of God. Okay, so that's again... Obviously, we have to pray according to God's word. And again, you can't be praying and displacing instruction. Because the word of God, it instructs us. So we have to pray according to God's word. It says, what inability, unwillingness to persevere. This is the same. We mentioned this before about being consistent in prayer. Lack of faith or prayerlessness. So you're praying and not believing that you receive, you know, or prayerlessness. You are not praying. So it's a struggle. You know, the more you pray, the more you want to pray. It's the same thing with reading the word. The more you read the word, the more you want to read, you know. So when you're not praying, it's harder to even start. Or it's just the desire is not there. Because first and foremost, you have to be deliberate about it because it's a spiritual thing. You know, it's not flesh. There's nothing in your flesh that could say to you, go and pray or go and read your word. So it's a spiritual transaction. Because of that, we have to be deliberate about it. All right. Sorry. Oh, my. Good. And then the last one, activities of powers of darkness are unbroken curses. So I just wanted to add this point here because everything else here was internal. in terms of us, you know, the individual, but then there are also some external forces. So that's why I wanted to add in this activities of powers of darkness or unbroken curses, because we know like generational curses hinder, and they hinder us and they hinder our prayers as well. Does anyone have anything to add before we move forward? There are persons adding stuff in the chat, but I'm not really able to view. Okay, let's move forward. Because, yeah, we just have an hour now.
I am lost. What page are you reading from?
No, it's not what, it's not, well, it's not a page. Because I just
summarized. You are not in the manual.
Okay. Yeah, I am. This is I'm not going according to the manual. So I'm just like summarizing. I pulled a lot of stuff from the manual because it's fairly lengthy. So it would be good if after the session you can actually read through everything. So what I did, I'm just like summarizing a lot of the points.
Okay.
Yeah, to just prick our interest. So what is prayer again? So this section, it speaks about the purpose of prayer. So it raises a standard against enemies of God. It begins and sustains revival. We all know that. That prayer begins a revival and it sustains it. And I remember I had watched Transformational Prayer, and this is a documentary on this pastor. I can't remember his name now. And he moved his family to Colombia. And they started this revival through prayer. The name of the documentary is Transformational Prayer. And he was assassinated, but it continued. They continued the work. The work was continued through his wife and his two daughters. And I think the last documentary they did was in 2000 and what? I can't remember if it was like 2006 or something like that, or even later than that. I can't remember. And the wife said that it has continued since then. And she said the reason that it has been sustained or that it has continued is because of prayer. So you need to start with prayer, and to sustain the move, you have to sustain it in prayer as well. So prayer is critical. It says it reveals God's agenda to his people, which we all know. That's why we pray, you know, to receive instruction from God, to receive insight, you know. That's why we pray. It says it releases laborers into the field. So that's when we say, you know, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. So send and call. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers. So how do we do it? Through prayer. Right? It helps us to live and to walk in the realm of the supernatural, which we know. Because again, prayer is communication with the Lord, and the Lord knows everything. So if you are connected to the one that knows everything, you would always, you know, like nothing would catch you unawares. You would always be able to see the trouble afar off and be able to deal with it. And really and truly, that's the position that we are supposed to hold as intercessors. You know, it is God's appointed way of meeting our needs, which is simple. That's why we pray. We pray when we have needs, you know, needs in our family, financial needs, health needs. The Lord says it is God's appointed way of meeting our needs, that even as we ask, we receive. And one of the scriptures I quoted earlier, it says, even before they ask, he answers. Right? And this is what the Lord does. So this is the purpose of prayer. And there are three levels of prayer. We know a personal, the personal level, corporate, and territorial, which is known as networking level. So the personal level, this relates to the individual and matters pertaining to the individual. So it's like your family, etc. You know, things within your immediate environment. There are certain levels of spiritual warfare an individual should not undertake except God gives you authorization and a mandate to do so. And this is a very important. You know, there are certain things that the individual, that you as an individual cannot or should not do unless you receive direct instructions from the Lord. unless you receive instructions from the Lord. And just a little simple, a very simple example. And this is related to the team in Barbados. Like 2 years or so ago, the Lord had told us he wanted us to erect altars at the schools in the nation. All right, just go and pray at the gates of the schools. And if it was one thing that was clear, was that we could not go alone. To the point that if a particular chapter, you know, well, persons at work, you're trying to coordinate schedules. If it came to a point where there was only one person within a particular chapter that was available, they had to link up with another chapter and move. Because you just could not do it alone. And what you don't go to war alone. You know, and it's critical. This is very important because a lot of people get into trouble with this, concerning this. You know, even as it relates to like strongholds in your family, you realize coming down through the line, this one particular thing happening in every generation or skipping a generation, you realize what it is and you want to go and deal with it. No, you have to go to the Lord in prayer and he will give you the strategy. So again, there are certain levels of spiritual warfare an individual should not undertake, except God gives you authorization and mandate to do so. So then there's corporate level. This could be a family altar, prayer team, or a trained squad, which is the wailing women. The power of agreement is very important at this level, which is the same thing we were talking about earlier. Disagreement and disunity is a hindrance to prayer. There is corporate anointing, which the devil cannot resist. At this level, prayer exceeds personal needs. Burdens are shared concerning family, church, and nation. That's basically what Wailing Women does. So we pray at a corporate level. We come together and we pray as a prayer team, as a trained squad. Right? And with that, there's a particular anointing that is received at that level, you know, and the enemy recognizes it. And so that's why it's important that we carry one voice and make one sound. It's important. Networking, the territorial level, prayers are done at inter and intracontinental levels. National and continental altars are raised in prayer. Networking secures a unique platform for destroying the strongholds of wickedness. There is a joint force in dealing with matters of thrones, altars, covenants, and curses that have held individuals, families, people groups captive. There are men and women to whom God has given keys to the gates of nations. When they network in prayer, great destruction is unleashed on the kingdom of Satan. At this level, there can be a chain prayer, spiritual gatekeepers mounted on walls, and gates of nations on their knees. And an example, one of the examples is the Wailing Women International Conferences. Because at the international conferences, we don't just come together as a prayer team or a trained squad. But we come together at an international level because there are women and men from across the earth, all different languages, coming together to agree concerning one matter. Right? And so it's very powerful. So there are different levels, personal, corporate, and the territorial level. Any questions? Or I could just move ahead. Okay, stuck. Okay, we're having a little problem. Okay, good. Right. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, Ephesians 6:18. So we're looking now at the different types of prayers. This is not even, I don't even think, was this all? The book has several. So there are prayers of praise and thanksgiving, adoration, confession, commitment, faith, petition, supplication, deliverance, binding and loosing, agreement. You know, I always thought that the binding and loosing was deliverance. I thought that was one. Agreement, tongues, judgmental, repentance and restoration, dedication or consecration, authority and intercession. And they have the definitions for all of these prayers in the manual. So when you get a chance, again, you should go and look them up. But we're going to look at intercession, obviously, because that's the area that we function in as a team. Prayer of intercession. Intercession defined to meditate, intervene. Sorry, that's not supposed to be meditate. That's to mediate. Sorry. Intervene, to plea, to work with God on the behalf of others. We know that's to intercede on the behalf of another, or to act as an advocate for another. So examples of intercessory prayers. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. I'm thinking that we may need to pull some of these scriptures. Okay, so what I'm going to do, as I call your name, I'm going to just give you a scripture. Is that okay? So we can just get a couple of these scriptures, probably just like three out of them. So is Jem Antoine, are you available to read? Can you read the first one? Luke 19, verse 41. Jem Antoine. Okay, I'm not hearing her. Heather Rock, are you available to read? Indira, are you available? Kenya?
Yeah.
This is who's saying yeah? I can't see.
Indira.
All right, Indira. So you're Luke 19:41.
I didn't get it.
Luke 19:41. And then I want you to read Luke 22:32. Like, okay, can you see the screen?
Yes.
I want you to read the three scriptures under examples of intercessory prayers, which is the Luke 19:41, Luke 22:32, and then Luke 23:34. Right? So we can just go through quickly. Good. Christine. Okay, no, not. I'm going to call you when I'm ready. So just let me give the other two. Christine King, you're available?
Yes, Marie? Ma'am.
Okay, good. So Christine, I want you to Joel 2:17-18.
Joel 2:17-18.
Joel 2:17-18. Yeah, and I want you to just hold that for me because that is in the same purpose of intercessory prayer. That's in our same, so that's in two columns. Let me see. Job. Okay. Could you also look for Job 1:5?
Job 1:5.
Right, well, Job 1:5. Good. Then who else? Danica, you're there? Danica isn't there. Doreen?
Yes, please.
Oh, Doreen. The agent, Doreen. Psalm 122:6-8.
Psalm 122:6-8.
Mm-hmm. And then Romans 10:1.
Very well.
Good. So the first person, that was Christine.
No, Christine. Luke Christine was first. I'm second.
Who's Luke?
Somebody.
Doreen. No, it was not Danica. I have to look back through.
I think Indira was Luke, actually.
Okay, Indira. I'm not saying Indira. Let me see. Indira, yes. Indira, you're there? You're ready? I don't know what's happening with me. Indira, you're there? We can't hear you. You're on mute. Let me see. Let me read it and I'll read it in the meantime. Luke 19:41. Good. So this is examples. These are the examples of intercessory prayers. So Luke 19:41, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. So that's the Lord interceding on behalf of the nation. So Jesus is, when Jesus comes to Jerusalem as the king, that's the context. So he wept over the city of Jerusalem. And we know that wailing women in the foundational scripture, it speaks about the Lord calling for skillful women that would come, you know, and cry out to him on behalf of the nation to stay his hand of judgment, right? So the second reference is Luke 22:32, it says, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. This is when the Lord was speaking to him. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. So it says he prayed for his disciples, right? And then Luke 23:34, it reads, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So that's a very familiar, the crucifixion of Jesus. So he prayed for his enemies while on the cross, right? So some examples of intercessors, it says here, King David and his son Solomon, for the people that they ruled. We know for sure when the Lord asked Solomon what he wanted, he said wisdom to rule over these people. Joel 2:17-18. Mm-hmm. Christine.
Mm-hmm. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is thy God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people.
Good. So an example of the intercessors, it says here, prophets and priests. So we know a lot of the prophets, Jeremiah and the others, who would have been intercessors for the people, acted in that role. Then you have Abraham for Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, when he was asking the Lord, if not only two righteous, you know, what will you do, Daddy? Job for his children. I think that was another reference. Job 1:5.
Yes. So it was, when the days of feasting had run their course, that Job would send... Promotion. Download BIP. Turn on your BIP notifications and... that Job would send and sanctify them. Mm-hmm. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did accordingly. Regularly.
So Job for his children. And yes. So parents, we as parents must pray for our children. Biological, spiritual, whatever the case may be, children in our hands, the Lord has given to us. The purpose of intercessory prayers to bless God's people. Doreen 122:68 and 122:68.
pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will say, I will seek your prosperity.
Mm-hmm. Good. Bless God's people. That's one of the purposes. To restore a backslidden people or a nation. That's in Daniel. To turn aside God's judgment. So that's Christine again with Joel. Just verse 17. Joel 2, just 17. Christine, you're there?
Sorry. It was no muted. Problem. Sorry, yes. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is thy God?
To turn aside God's judgment. Mm-hmm. Romans 10:1, it says, for the salvation of souls. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. It says, for the forgiveness of sins and to deliver individuals from danger. So this is some of the purposes of intercessory prayer. Screen sticking. Good. So some practical issues in prayer. And this is directly out of the manual. But it comes from, how many of us know about Words from the Father's Heart? It's a publication that Wailing Women would put out. It's a set of prophetic words that the Lord would give. And they're compiled into publications, into books. So this particular one is from volume one. Yeah, it says here from volume one. So just let me read it quickly. It says, practical issues in prayer. Make your prayers specific. This is what the Lord is saying, because these are all prophetic words. When you pray, tell God definite things. When you make long and winding prayers without making specific requests, you waste your time. When your prayer is specific, you will know when there is an answer, which is so true, you know, practical and true, right? If your finger hurting, the same thing I said, if your finger hurting, don't pray for your hand. Pray for the finger, because when the finger heals, you will know. Avoid asking too many things at a time. It's true. Lord, help us. Set a priority in prayer and put your prayer in sequence. The woman with the issue of blood was specific. You know, that is so true. She was so specific that when she reached out, she received the same thing. And she went in faith. She was determined. She was persistent. She went in faith, you know, believing that thing. And she was specific, determined, and faith. And she received the result, right? Hannah was specific. She asked for a male child. And in answer, the Lord gave her Samuel. Blind Bartimaeus was specific. He asked to receive sight. God hears and attends to your prayers. Don't keep praying for issues or things that God has dealt with. This constitutes a waste of time. And a lot of us known for this. Lord, forgive us. You throw your prayers like scattered arrows. When you are not specific, aim to make your prayers hit the target. Be specific when praying for your nation. And this is another one too. This is so important. So you know, so that's why it's good, because you have some people that say, well, I don't need to read the newspaper and I don't need to listen to the news. Well, then how will you know the matters in the nation? You must keep your ears to the ground so you know what's going on in the nation. So you can pray specific. You know? So you can deal with it in the spirit. You know, even before it happens. The prime minister and the government, they're looking to change this. They're looking to do this. And carry it to the Lord in prayer. You know? Declaring that many are the plans of a man's heart, but that the only Yoruba will be established in this nation. So if it is against your will, if XYZ is against your will, cut it off according to your word. My understanding is that it is against your will. So I'm asking that you cut it off. And that's why it's important to know the word. Pray with observation and listen while praying, which a lot of us don't do. You know, even me, you know, sometimes you say, I'm going to pray. I hear rattling off, but you don't give me the Lord time to speak. Learn to pray with meditation. Wow. Learn to pray with meditation. Sitting down. You know, spending the time, being deliberate. You know, if you got a portion of scripture you want to meditate on, you know, even as you sit to pray and just take your time. You know, that's so important. It's so critical. It says, pray with reasoning. Let me look at this scripture here because I didn't even look at that. Isaiah 1:18. Let me just read this quickly. Isaiah 1:18. It says, okay, why are you taking so long? Could someone just pull up Isaiah 1:18 and read for me? For some reason, my phone is still spooling. Isaiah 1:18. Yep, up to know me.
Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord.
Amen.
Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Mm-hmm. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool.
Yeah. Come, let me reason. Let me sit down and talk. Come, let me talk about this issue. That's reason. Pray with contemplation. So you're contemplating. So, you know, you're really just sitting and taking your time and considering. Pray with anticipation, expectation. So I anticipate, like, this is what will happen. Lord, you know, even as I come before you, I just, you know, anticipating this thing. I expecting that this thing is going to come. All right? So it says these are practical issues. Things we do and things we do not do. You know, things that we need to take note of. And again, this is in the manual. Okay, good. So we're on to the second aim. Why is praise important? Let me see how long. Okay, good. Why is praise important? Why is praise important? Why, without even looking at what I have here, why is praise important in prayer? Could someone respond?
The word tells us that we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. And it sets the atmosphere and will give us entrance into the place where we want to go, the Holy of Holies.
Mm-hmm. What else? Someone else could give me an ad? Yeah, that's good.
I think the scripture that says,
he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah, he inhabits the praises of his people. Uh-huh. Someone else was speaking? Mm-hmm.
Prayers or praise?
Mm-hmm.
Which one
praise, did you praise, say? P-R-A-I-S-E. Why yes. is it important in our prayers? P-R-A-Y-E-R-S. Why mm-hmm. praise important in prayer?
Praise brings the presence of the Father. He dwells, mm-hmm. inhabits the praises of his people. We need that.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
One of the things that I think is important with praise and worship as well,
mm-hmm.
Is that it causes your attention to be on God.
That is it.
Mm-hmm. It is such a powerful weapon, even against the enemy. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, we like to, oh Lord, when it comes to dealing with the devil and stuff, we tend to focus a lot on what he is doing,
mm-hmm.
rather than lifting up Jesus, rather than mm-hmm. focusing on the one who has conquered. So it mm-hmm. helps us to keep our attention on God.
Yes, true. Like, for instance, when I was preparing for this session, and I was going through, because I was like, wow, look, this chapter's so long. How am I going to cut this down so that we can organize this in the time? This is so long. And I remember when I got to this part about, and the thing about it is that it's so long, but the part on prayers is just like a short segment. And when I saw it, I was like, Lord, it convicted me, because I was like, Ashley, when last you prayed? You know, you always giving thanks, and thanksgiving is different to praise. You always give me thanks, but you weren't being deliberate. The Lord was just reminding me about that. You weren't being deliberate to praise me. And praising the Lord is like bigging him up, you know, like declaring this is who he is and this is what he's do. You know, and it is, and for me, and I started doing it, and you know what I realize it does? It silences every other voice. And then you are able to focus and you're able to hear the Lord. So I come in, you come from work. It's like everything that happened at work. You drive home, the traffic on the road. Then, oh gosh, my mother want me to do something. Oh my, then I gotta go and do this with my nephew. It's like, oh, then you know, I got my assignment I gotta go and do. And I let me just this little quick prayer here. No. I realize from the time I begin to declare, you are Jehovah Jireh, you are my provider. Right? You are Jehovah Nissi, the banner over me. Right? So men know who I belong to. Because when they see you when you at sports there and you behind the red banner, the people know that you're in Red House. And it's either that Red House is the house that has win every year or is lose every year. So depending on the banner that before you, the people know who you belong to. Jesus used my banner. Right? You are Jehovah, my shepherd. You know, the one that does protect me. So when I start declaring these things, yeah, that daddy, you are my shelter and my portion in the land of the living. Yeah, because of you, you know, we are not consumed. Barbados is a little small rock. Daddy, if it was not for you, right, the wind and the waves would overtake this place. But because of you, daddy, we are still here. We are not consumed. You know, the word of God says it's because of his mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When you start declaring them things, every other voice is going to step back. Every other voice does fade away. And you know, from preparing for this session, I see in this little piece, I said, actually, you're going to start back praising. And it carries you. Like when I catch myself sometimes, by the time I finish prayers, I ain't got nothing much to pray about. Honestly, I have nothing much to pray about. So it says here, it is a weapon of warfare. The enemy hates prayers. So he tries to hinder you from praising. It says prayers is an arrow. Prayers demotes and disorganizes the kingdom of Satan. When there is prayers in your mouth, Satan knows he has not made an entry. So open your mouth wide and begin to praise God. When there is prayers, he knows that he has not made an entry. And the song, I was playing a song at the beginning of the session, like over and over and over. It's this song called, the name of the song is Bow Down and Worship Him. And it's just the same thing. Bow down and worship him. You know? Bow down and worship him. And then the leader, he would come in and begin to read this big long. It's like he's just telling God, you know, telling the Lord who he is. This is who you are. You are omnipotent, omnipresent. You are this, you are that. And that's all they're doing. They're singing, bow down and worship. And that's all he's doing, you know. And I mean, it like it's the atmosphere is like, whoa. You know Jesus in that place. This happened how much ever years ago, but every time I play this thing on YouTube, every time I play this song on YouTube, it's like the presence of the Lord. Just because all they're doing is praising the Lord. That's all they're doing. That's all they're doing in that song. Praising God. All he is doing. Praising God. Telling God who he is. When there is praise, he knows he has not made an entry. The enemy knows that he has not made an entry. Like all rats. They say that when a rat finds an entry point, you don't know, as long as his head could get through, the entire body could get through. And as long as the rat find an entry point, he's used that entry point. If he come in the house 50 times, that's same entry point. And that's how you catch rats. Because there is one place, as they find it, that's it. It all over. Unless you know how to get rid of them. Once they find that one entry point, the whole place mash up. Right? So it says that praise is a weapon of warfare. And that's why it's important to praise. So from there, then I just moved on to how to foster intimacy in prayer. And we know what intimacy is, you know, is closeness. I know you, you know me. We know each other. How you're being intimate with the Lord. So it says you must dialogue with the Lord in prayer. Like have discussions. Like how we just mentioned about like reasoning and contemplating. And you know, just taking time out. You know, setting time aside for him. And a lot of us guilty, me too. Because I have a set time, 2 times a day that I'm supposed to sit and spend with the Lord. I go battle in the morning because I'm going to sleep late, doing things, going to sleep late. I'm going to be battling in the morning, fighting to get up. And then in the evening when I come in from work, sometimes you're getting late or you come home so tired. You know, when we should really, he should be priority. And everything else secondary. And I'm trying to work towards it now. Right? Setting that time aside so I could dialogue. So he knows this is we time. And so he comes and I come too. It says, learn nonverbal communication in prayer. In quietness, the Spirit of God comes upon you. Learn nonverbal communication in prayer. And you know what that means? I remember there was this time that I was just going through. Are they going through? Are they going through? Are they going through? And the Lord reminded me. The Lord said, through a friend, you know, she was praying for me. And the Lord said, Ashley, you know what you need to do. And I was, I know what you need to do. If I didn't know what I need to do, I would do it every since. I don't know what you need to do. And he was like, you know what you need to do. And I fight and fight and fight and fight. Fight and fight and fight. I got weary. And you know what I did? I would just come in on evenings in my work clothes, turn on worship music, and sit down on the ground and rest my head back on my bed. And just begin to like take some very deep breaths. And you know, in that period, the Lord began to minister to me to the point that he brought me to a place of strength that I was then able to pray. Because at that point, I was not able to pray. I was so out of it. And that's what the Lord did with me. I would every evening, same thing. Come home, put on my bags, turn on my music, sit on the floor, and just rest my head back on my bed. And just breathe until, I mean, like there was this calm, like a complete calm, that I could literally hear my thoughts. And it was only the Lord that could do that. You know, and he showed me how to do it. Nonverbal communication. And when you do that, the Lord speaks. The Lord, like you hear so clear because everything else is silenced. And then too, there's also a scripture. Well, no, that doesn't tie into this. So let me leave all that. Let me leave out that scripture. There's another scripture that speaks about the Lord waiting until we are actually asleep to speak to us. Because some people so restless. You know, when they're moving around, they're too restless to listen. So the Lord is waiting when you're sleeping, when you can't respond to speak. In dreams. It says we must learn to listen to God. You know, which is something that we have to be deliberate about. You know, it says maintain your personal prayer altar, which is what I spoke about before. It says learn to praise God voluntarily. So just do it for doing it because you like to do it, not because you're supposed to or somebody else tell you to do it. Just do it. Express joy and gladness in the presence of the Lord. So dance. You're free to dance. He actually likes it. When we dance. Right? And just be free. Come in your bedroom, close your door, and you're free to do whatever you want to do. It said David danced before the Lord. He danced before the Lord. So it says we must foster intimacy in prayer and just be deliberate in doing it, and the Lord will meet you. Right? Anyone wanted to add anything? About intimacy, fostering intimacy, our prayers, because that's the, from there we go on to the homework assignment. So does anyone want to mention anything about prayers? Yes, we did speak about the prayers being important. It's really the intimacy, about being intimate with the Lord. Does anyone want to mention anything before we close? about fostering intimacy in prayer. Okay, so we can move on then. So this is the assignment. This is the assignment for Thursday. I always say next week, but it's not next week. It's only Thursday. So we're going to set time aside to continue the discussion that we had about praying, persons praying to Jesus as opposed to praying to God. You know, like if there's a separation. So we would just go away and pray and come back. And let's have a discussion about it. And I would do the same. Right? So we can set time aside for that. But also I have this assignment. A practical session on praise, because I really wanted to focus on praise, because I believe that when I was preparing and the Lord was deliberate to highlight the need for praise, that we should do it too. So I want, there are like five persons. I want five persons. So I would like five persons to volunteer themselves. And this is what you're going to do. So each person will have an opportunity to write a love letter to God, which will be read during the worship session, during a worship session. Because what I would do, I would play music and pause. And as I play and pause, the first person will begin to read. And we are practicing praise. So the love letter to God should be between 5 to 6 lines in length. And it should be a statement of praise. As I said, not thanksgiving, not asking for anything, but declaring who he is. You're speaking well of God. You are the lover of my soul and the lifter up of my head. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, it doesn't have to rhyme, but you could, it doesn't have to rhyme. If you wish, you could set it as a story, a set of statements, right? And what I did, I have the link here of the same song that I was playing before. So what I am going to do, I am going to, could the five persons just give me your names quickly? I need five volunteers quickly. And then from there, what I'm going to do, we're going to pray and close and just play the song. And when the song is finished, or as you feel free, you can just leave. But if we can just do it quickly. So I just need five names. So remember, it's a love letter to the Lord, and it just has to be like 5 or 6 lines, so nothing long. So I'm listening. The first person,
Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Sherri-Ann.
Mm-hmm.
Simonia.
Uh huh. Two more people.
Lorraine.
Lorraine?
L-O-R-R-A-I-N-E.
Lorraine, uh-huh.
Heather.
Sorry?
Heather.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So I have my five. Kenya, Sherri-Ann, Simonia, Lorraine, Heather. Right? So you understand what you're doing. You're writing a love letter to the Lord, and the focus is praise. Not thanksgiving, not asking for anything. Praise, declaring who he is, speaking well of him, right? 5 to 6 lines in length. If you want to do it like a story, actually, I would start the song, but could we have someone to just close us in prayer before I start the song? And then from there, you're free to leave as you wish. I will just play the song. So you can... someone to pray, please.
So you're praying and dusting before you pray the song, right?
Yeah, pray and dust so that I can just pray the song, and then you're just free to go from there.
Then you're before you can put back what you had concerning the assignment. I was writing it all.
You were writing it? Then I wouldn't be able to share. So I can tell you, it's 5 to 6 lines. 5 to 6 lines, and it's a love letter to the Lord. That's it, basically. The focus is praise. Right. So, it's Brandley, you're going to pray for us. And dust us off.
We come tonight. We just give you thanks and we just give you praise for being with us in this class. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is ministering to us even now. Father, we thank you for a lively and provocative class tonight with topics that is going to stir us and want us to be zealous to go and research. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that is with us in this class. We thank you for Ashley, our presenter tonight. We thank you for every person on the Zoom platform tonight. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We just give you glory because of who you are. You are omnipotent, omnipresent.
Amen.
We thank you and we appreciate the knowledge you're imparting to us as women. We thank you as you equip us, training for reigning. Father, we thank you that in advance for Thursday night, God will come back overjoyed, with joy bubbling over there, God, because we have spent time with you. Because as we research, you cause a deeper and deeper hunger to want to know more, to want to know more about you, to want to know your purpose, to want to know more about prayer. God, that it will cause us to come in a more intimate relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord God, for your sacrificial love on the cross. We just could never say enough thank you.
Amen.
For your finished work.
Thank you, Lord.
And as we leave this zone, but never out of your presence, we thank you for there's no distance in prayer. And Father, we thank you as you continue to give us a teachable spirit. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do the work in us.
Hallelujah.
That through Jesus, God the Father will be glorified. And we thank you and we ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 You leave with us or somebody else could us.
No, you could us too. You can hear me?
Yes, I could hear you, Ash.
Yeah, you could go ahead and dust us off.
Okay. We dust ourselves from the smoke and dust and ashes of war. We take the tail of the back of the backlash and we smash his head to utter destruction. We declare that no weapon formed against us should prosper. Mm-hmm. That any tongue that rise up in judgment should be condemned. Mm-hmm. We erase our footprints, voice, notes, fingerprints, cyberprints sent from off of this battlefield that they cannot be used against us. There will be no reprisal, no backlash, no retaliation. We cut off every trailing demon and monitoring spirit. We cover ourselves, family, homes, and all concerning us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We place these actions and prayers in the books and heaven and seal them with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We declare that finally the kingdom of this world should become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he should reign forever and ever. Surely goodness and mercy should follow us all the days of our lives, and we should dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever.
Amen.
Nothing broken, nothing missing,
Amen.
Nothing lacking. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name,
amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Can you hear can you hear and see? Let me know.
Amen.
Can you hear and see the video?
Yes.
Sorry?
Yes.
Okay, good. So this is an example of what we would do on Thursday. Could everyone just mute? And you're free to leave as you desire.
Before the earth was formed, you are God. We bow before your throne, O God, and we just want to give you praise tonight. We just want to give you praise. We cannot make it without you, and we cannot make it without your power. Jesus, if it wasn't of your love and your faithfulness to the cross, where would we be? Today we are able to stand and testify that your death was life unto us. Your pain was healing unto our bodies. That your tears, O Lord, they were celebration and joy unto us. We thank you, O God, that you are in this place tonight, and we are able to experience your presence, for you are a great God. Yes, you are. You are the substance of all human virtues. You're all wise and you're all knowing, all understanding. You can do anything and everything we cannot do. You are everything good that we would like to be. You're omnipotent. You're all powerful. You're omniscient. You're all knowing. You are omnipresence. You are present everywhere. And we know that you are present even in this arena. Oh God, we know that you are in this place, and we want to give you praise. All we can say is, Abba Father, thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. We bow before your throne, and we would like to give you praise. Everybody bow down and worship, come on. Of the pro.
You are immortal. You are spirit. You are the beginning and you are the end. Totally aware of yourself, you are the great I am. Totally moral, totally self-assertive, you are the essence of love. You're loving. We just want to bow before your throne and give you the praise. For you are worthy to receive the glory and the honor. We love you, Lord God. We ask you right now to let your fire come down. Consume me, fire.
Thanks, ladies. Everyone have a good night. Sleep well. And I would see you again on Thursday.
Okay, good night, Ashley.
Good night, ladies.
Sorry, I came in late because we have prayer all this week.
Okay, no problem. Thanks for still coming in.
Okay.
Okay, so be good.